Congressman Steve King, a native of Storm Lake, Iowa, was first elected to Congress in 2002 to represent Iowa's 5th Congressional District. During the 2012 election cycle, Iowa was redistricted into 4 districts, and now Congressman King represents the 4th Congressional District. Congressman King serves on the Agriculture Committee and is chairman of the Subcommittee on Department of Operations, Oversight, and Nutrition. Iowa's 4th Congressional District is one of the leading agriculture production districts in America. His district proudly leads the nation in egg and pork production and thrives with tremendous leadership in corn and soybean production. The 4th Congressional District also ranks number one among the 435 congressional districts in ethanol and total renewable energy production. Congressman King is simply a tremendous leader in Congress promoting the biofuels industries. In fact, Congressman King's very first bill in the Congress was an expansion of the tax credit to small ethanol and biodiesel producers. His language was included in the Energy Users Act of 2005, which President George W. Bush signed into law. So please join me in welcoming to the podium Congressman Steve King.
Lieutenant Governor Reynolds, thanks very much for the introduction. And Governor Branstad, thank you very, very much for pulling this together. That shows bold and confident leadership we have here in this state. And I want to thank all of the states that are represented here that have come here for this hearing today, from Indiana to Nebraska, North and South Dakota, Minnesota, Missouri. I know I'm forgetting some of them, but a lot of the Corn Belt is represented here. A lot of the good soybean producing areas in the country are represented here today. And I think the governor has articulated how much we are at ground zero here. I want to give the Minnesotans a little credit because they actually got ahead of us with their legislation and put a little credit out there and started building small ethanol plants. That helped lay the foundation for an ethanol industry, so that I can today listen to this introduction from Lieutenant Governor Reynolds about how this one out of 435 congressional districts in America leads the nation in renewable energy production. That is the 4th District in Iowa. And just my little extra piece of that is that if the 4th District were a state, it would actually be the largest state producing renewable energy in America as well. So it feels good to be here, but I'm very proud of what has been accomplished by a lot of you in this room and those thousands that Secretary Norley spoke of that aren't able to be here today. And I wanted to take you a little back through and touch some points in history on how we got here so that we have a perspective on what's happening at this moment with the EPA. And I would take you back into the 70s, and I remember a president who said to us, plant fence row to fence row. We need all of the food you can produce because we're going to export that over to places like Russia. And what did our producers do? They even took out the fence rows and planted everything, everything we could, with good soil conservation practices, which I've done all of my life, by the way. And then once we had that export market opened up and we were producing for it, what happened? The Russians went into Afghanistan. You know, a lot of people forgot that that happened. We're there now. They were there then. Jimmy Carter said that we're not going to send our folks to the Olympics. Well, by the way, we're back to the Olympics in Russia again. This thing all ties together in a way. But then the message was, we're not going to trade any longer with Russia because they're in Afghanistan, that place that they shouldn't have gone, but we later did. And that grain embargo shut things down, and we were ramped up for production here. And we saw our market prices tumble downward. And I was at that point in life where I was highly leveraged, starting a business. I was in my 20s. And I looked around, and I saw things go down. And you can't get out of a downward spiral. You can't fly out of it. You can't swim out of it. You can't hold your breath long enough to outlast it. It'll take you down and take you out unless you've got the capital. And I watched across the decade of the 80s as we had 35 or 3,600 banks in America shut down, including mine on April 26, 1985, 3 o'clock on a Friday afternoon. And if you've ever been through that, you know what that's like. And we should not believe that there are cycles here in this economy that just continue to grow that are built on nothing. They've got to be built on real production. And all new wealth comes from the land. You can mine it out of the earth in the form of gold or maybe silver, or you can pump it out in the form of petroleum. Yes, you can. But the rest of it you're going to raise out of the soil. And the renewable energy comes out of the soil. And you can trace these dollars right back to this productive dirt that we have represented here. We can't allow this to happen again. We can't go through another set of the 80s. We can't be put into another downward spiral by a decision made at the top of the executive branch in the United States that takes all of the good wishes and all of the goodwill, the fence row to fence row, by the way, in the 90s it is, now we're not going to be dependent upon that foreign oil that caused the gas lines in the 70s. We had all of our eggs in one basket. And we decided we're going to have our eggs in different baskets. And they said to our producers, can you do something? We're going to give you a credit and we're going to give you an incentive to go out here and build an industry. And by the way, you couldn't just go borrow that ethanol industry from ADM and Cargill. They weren't interested in developing a petroleum competition market. They were not interested in sharing their engineering and their design and their biotech with us. And so you had people that, guys that grew up on the farm in places like Minnesota and Iowa, they got out their welder and their torch and their chemistry books and decided, okay, we'll build it. And they did. And ethanol plants popped up across this countryside, and you could not have found a way to sell a gallon of ethanol through the pump unless you can crack into market access. The petroleum industry didn't want to have a competition within their 100% de facto petroleum mandate that they had going into liquid-burning fuels on the roads in America. So they wanted to lock ethanol out. It took government to uncrack that market, government to let us get into that marketplace, and those decisions were made by the voice of the people, reflected through the United States Congress and through the state legislatures. And you look across, now we have an industry that's built that has produced 24% of the domestically produced gallons that go into gas-burning cars in America out of mostly corn-based ethanol. And now our farmers did, when they were asked, go fence row to fence row. They took the direction from the federal government, and the federal government jerked the rug out from underneath them. And then our producers said, okay, we're going to listen to you again. Take your word for it. We'll build a renewable fuels industry so all your eggs aren't in that one basket again, and we're not 100% petroleum again, and we'll have this diversification, and we'll compete. BTU to BTU. And by the way, last year, most of the time, the cheapest BTU on the market was corn-based ethanol. They've done their job, and now we have an EPA that's got a hold of that rug ready and actually, in a way, has jerked it out from underneath our people again. And I will tell you, it is frustrating to watch those messages, millions of dollars, hundreds of millions of dollars of capital put at risk. And as Secretary Northey said, that shifts under our feet when the federal government makes a decision. This is an illogical decision. It's not based on modern data. It's not based on 2013 data. It's based on 2011 data. And the rationale of this, there's a law that says this is what you shall do. They're having a little trouble reading that correctly, as Secretary Northey said, and I want to save that argument and hope that they simply listen to ours. There's no downside to this. And you look at the Rubik's Cube of renewable energy, and you turn it over and over and over again, it looks better and better, not worse and worse. And the lab said you can only get 2.74 gallon of ethanol out of a bushel of corn, and now we're squeezing 3 gallon out of that on a regular basis. And so we've not been limited by the limitations of the people that thought they knew this industry. We set new standards. Creative entrepreneurs have set new standards, and we are contributing to this economy. We're competing against petroleum. And if we let the petroleum lobby influence, and if, by the way, the environmentalists have lost a little bit of their fervor for this, that's not rational to me. There's enough CO2 displaced by ethanol and renewable fuels in this country to the equivalent of taking 27 million cars off our streets. And so every side of this thing looks good. Renewable energy, and I should put into this, the biodiesel industry got hit harder than ethanol did. They got hit harder on a percentage basis. But when you look at what's here, it's good for the environment. It's good for the economy. It's 45,000 jobs. It gives us independence. And when you have an administration that can't make a decision on a Keystone XL pipeline, but can make a decision on this to back an industry up and freeze it in place and what, weaken it so the petroleum industry can buy it out at a few cents on the dollar, there will be support for it then if they own it. Right now, they're locking the competition out. And the RFS is market access, market access. That's all it is. It's not a tax on anybody. It's a benefit to the consumers, anywhere from roughly $1 billion a year to $12 billion a year to up as high as $1.50 a gallon, depending on who you want to listen to. But it's a plus for our consumers. It's a plus for our environment. It's a plus for our balance in trade. It's a plus for competition and the cost of energy. And anything that competition and the cost of energy keeps our prices down, it makes us more competitive in this country, on this continent, in this hemisphere, and in the world. So this is important. I thank the governor. God bless you all.